David cautions his listeners about getting involved with the paranormal and other realms beyond our physical world, things like psychics, pendulums, and the things he describes as coming from a very dark place, including cults and false teachers. Here, David explains what these traps are and how we can grow spiritually without them and the negativity they bring with them.
Well, those are the sideshows, the so-called astral circus, the New Age astral circus. And I teach against them. Why? Because straight and narrow is the path. Or you can spend quite a few lifetimes wandering through the fantasied world of various psychics and channelers and various people like this, and tarot cards and tea leaf readings and various things like this. They all end up at a dead end. Some entity on the other side tells you about a whole other dimension. The next thing you know, you're all involved in that dimension, and a lot of them have gods with a weird name and various hierarchies. And a lot of times for additional money, they will move you up to a different higher level of anarchy. For another 5,000, they'll introduce you to Master so-and-so on a different level, who will now give you some magical powers. And the whole thing is seductive. What's being seduced is the innocent curiosity of the child. There are things on the internet that will tell you, for $5,000, they'll raise your level of consciousness 100 points an hour. For $50,000, they guarantee you'll be enlightened within 6 weeks. Actually, they're on the internet, and I suppose people actually send the money because they're still there. So, you see, when you first realize that there's something other than just logic in the phenomenal world, the child in you becomes, oh, wow, so the paranormal. We're not saying the paranormal doesn't exist. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But the scripture says not to go there. Not to go there. Why? Because you're dealing in other realms and you have no education or sophistication or awareness of the rules and the laws of those realms. The angels fear to tread there. Why would you? Because why? It's morbid curiosity. You want to know how awful is? You want to check out hell? You're not going to check out hell without getting burned. I advise people, don't go there. Don't be tempted by the drama of it. If you're going to climb the highest mountain, make note of the fact that 176 people have died there already doing it. You can do the thing. You can go out of body and visit other dimensions. You are not equipped to go there. You don't even know anything about who's who there. And you're an innocent victim the minute you walk there. So tarot cards, Ouija boards, psychic readings, throwing runes are all forms of magic. So the child in us is entranced by the magic. There are people that do it. And if they do it, they do it. I tell people, don't try to calibrate low energies. Don't get attracted to that which is evil and demonic and start trying to calibrate it, because your pendulum is going to get hit by that energy. And one of your energy fields and chakras can get reversed, by the way. So don't play around with it. A pendulum is not a game. And same with any kind of divination. It shouldn't be done for sport. Many people play with divination and we never hear from them again. I don't recommend them to people because they always have to have some curiosity that is so hypothetical, having nothing to do with it, anything could possibly be your own spiritual destination. And you're just asking it out of idle curiosity. But often you're playing with very negative energies when you're doing that. You're trying to flirt with the negative and think you won't get burned. That's not going to happen. And I know a lot of people who did with pendulums started checking out other dimensions. And they really blew out and even became psychotic. So I don't recommend it. All these psychics over time turn out to be false. There's one locally that does all the things that are so typical of a cult. Tells people how to live, gets them bonded to him, tells them about their sex life. You have to turn all your money over to him. And one thing about these cult leaders you'll notice is that sex is forbidden to all the followers, but not to the cult leader. Who, of course, is entitled to go to bed with anybody who wishes. And then cite some entity on the other side. So the fallacy of the whole thing is so transparent to a sophisticated person. But the person who gets entrapped into it, it is their child, and their child gets brainwashed by all this mumbo-jumbo. And of course, Jonestown and all those things, you say, how could 1,000 sane adults commit suicide all at the same time? How could that be? So cults, you see, are dangerous, are they not? Because they have the capacity to brainwash people. And I say, a teacher should free you and not bind you. You should not be bound by the teacher. On the contrary, you should be freed by the teacher. You owe nothing to a teacher whatsoever, except to be polite and listen if you wish. You're not in bondage, you don't owe, you're not obligated. A true teacher doesn't try to control you or get you to turn over your financial assets to them at all. And the other thing they do is theatrics. Theatrics put on great displays with fancy robes and entourages and great wondrous buildings and all to impress you with their importance. The other thing they try to impress you with is the number of followers. They have 10 million followers in India or something like that. And I calibrate the guy, he comes out at 140. 140. He's got 10 million followers, and he calibrates at 140. So, you know, like lemmings being led over the cliff by the Pied Piper. Adolf Hitler had 40 million adoring followers, too. He calibrated at 90 and destroyed Germany and most of Europe. So the fact that somebody has lots of followers doesn't mean a single thing whatsoever. Plus, some teachers start out integrous, reach a high place, and then fall. And that is another innocence that the innocent person doesn't realize, that he was calibrated 570, but he's now at 190. Yes, he's now at 190. So I always teach students, sooner or later, you're going to become a teacher, sooner or later. And each of the levels of consciousness has its downside and its traps. And once you become a teacher, there's the seduction of being glamorized, of being idolized, of people saying that they love you very much, etc. Of sexual seduction, of the attraction of money, fame, power over many people. And therefore, many are the gurus who began to ascend the path and then crashed. Half a dozen of them are even on TV or the internet. They were at a high place at one point. So I believe a teacher should teach the students that when you reach a certain level of consciousness, these are the temptations that you will be presented with. Don't forget the Buddha was beset by demons. And these demons, people think, oh, they're going to come in the form of evil demons. Oh, no, they're not going to come in the form of evil demons. They're going to come in the form of seduction, sweet, adoringness. Oh, my God. They're going to come. Oh, master. So that's the dramatization. I'm not saying that there isn't a lot to it. Scripture says, it doesn't invalidate it. It says, don't go there. You can have a couple of readings that are right on, and you're now entranced by that. And then suddenly the readings go off, and some of the readings suddenly go wrong. So all those things are only tentative, and they're only transitory, spiritual fiction, because then the reality seems mundane and pedestrian as compared to the magical wonderment of a tarot card reading or something. I think it's the wrong direction altogether. And here, the error is to fall for the seduction that it is a quality or a power of your personal self, which it is not. The phenomena happen of their own. There is no personal self calling them. So we have witnessed miracles many times. And the trap is to think that you are the one that brought about the miracle. No such things. There is no person doing any miracles. So any so-called miracle worker is by definition. There is no person doing miracles. The potentiation occurs when a certain energy field arises. It only happens when all the conditions are appropriate, including karmic conditions. When the apple is ready, it falls from the tree. Now, the apple doesn't cause itself to fall from the tree. There's the field of gravity. So within the spiritual aura of an advanced teacher, phenomena that are due to occur karmically and for many reasons may be facilitated, but there's no personal self doing a cause and effect miraculous cure. You witness them happen. So you are the witness of them, and one is aware, yes, the energy field could exhilarate a propensity, but that karmic propensity is within the person themselves, and all one did was facilitate it. A person who's very sick and disabled, etc., will sit down next to you, and then you can feel this energy move over in their domain, and then they'll get up and walk away. Well, you're aware it wasn't you that did it, it was the energy, the Kundalini energy. So I was saved by the inner honesty, which was already present from previous spiritual work. And you just witness the phenomena. I mean, if I describe some of the things, you wouldn't believe them, but they were autonomous. It was the unfolding of potentiality emerging as a consequence of the energy field surrounding it, which potentialized it. So what's happening is, as you spiritually advance, the Kundalini energy rises. Now the Kundalini energy, by virtue of its own nature, is what is transformative and accomplishing the miraculous, not the personal you. So everybody needs a teacher to warn them of this. Miracle workers are a dime a dozen, you see, because when it came on, it was a phenomenon. Then the personal self took credit for that. Then the ego got exaggerated. Now they don't have that miraculous power anymore, but they don't want the world to know that, so they've learned how to fake it. And one of the most famous gurus of recent times in India, the phenomena occurred spontaneously in the beginning. Then he claimed credit for it. Then he brought great throngs. They brought great money. Then he began to learn how to fake that which had before had been autonomous. That's a very subtle thing. It's happened to more than one guru.